Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, we are back. That's right, 3 weeks have come and gone in the world of Port Charles, but we're going to break it all down rapid fire style. We'll talk about Nels getting busted, baby switches, Carly's got out of Ferncliff, so many things that come your way, and we're going to break it all down next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, baby, that music sounds good to my ears. Does it sound good to yours? I bet it does. Because that means it's time to talk the GH goodness that's happening in Port Charles right here on the GH Report. Hi, everybody. We're back. It's been 3 weeks.
I know.
Have you missed us? We've missed you.
Of course we have.
I'm one of your hosts and the way less talented and the one you care very little about, Frank Moran.
And I am your co-host, Carla Renata. Hey, guys. Good to see you. Good to hear you. Good to talk to you in the chat room.
And as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And Carla's got the chat up and running, so she's already reading your thoughts. She's already been excited about how active you've been in the chat. So keep it up. We'll break down all of the latest happenings for this past 3 weeks since we've been gone in Port Charles, as well as anything that kind of comes across our minds as we start chatting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to start backwards and work our way forwards, or are we gonna, how are we gonna do this?
I guess we'll start
to catch up
way back. Let's just have some fun. So
all right, let me go back.
Let's go into that way back machine 3 weeks ago where we get to see Nell. Let's I mean, the one thing that's been
let's hit Nell and just get her out of the way.
Were you satisfied by the resolution of the Nell's storyline?
I kind of like the way they took her down. I like the way that they had that whole little situation where they were going to put her in that car and coerce her into throwing her own self under the bus. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed how Michael just went a little too far. Like, they had the plan, but he was like, no, I am not going to give her any slack until she admits that my mom did not throw her down the stairs, and they crashed before they could get to that. Which, that was yummy too. That scene where they crashed and she got out and he was still stuck in the car was hilarious, because she was like, sorry, I wish I had a match. I'm like, ooh, no, girl.
Basically, I don't know if I'd ever drive if I lived in a soap opera, because
somebody always dies. Somebody's always in a crash. They always swerve off the road. That's right.
There's never ever a scene in a car where people are just having a chat and then they get to their destination and everything's fine.
Never.
If they're putting you in a car, it is going to crash or blow up or something's going to happen in that vehicle. No, never accept a ride.
Oh my God, it was pure comedy. But what was even funnier was the fact, I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, but in answer to your question, I was very satisfied with how they took her down. What I wasn't satisfied with was the way they snatched her out of the PCPD.
Yeah, man.
That was too many things. That was too many things where they dragged her out kicking and screaming. I'm like, oh, girl, just go peacefully and shut the hell up. Like, what are you doing?
she saw that blanket.
You coming back. Like, come on.
No.
She coming back. You know she's going to come back. Everybody that they send off to Ferncliff or that other loony bin. What's the other one?
yeah, the one that's way, way worse.
Shadybrook.
Yeah.
Ferncliff, Shadybrook, or they get put in prison. They always resurface at some point every single time.
And I guess we can't really talk about the Nell resolution without one last little jab that she does at Michael. And that is kind of ties into another storyline, and that is the Brad and Lucas twist.
Now, you know, that broke my heart, because I was just like, that is the epitome of evil right there. Like, if you had any kind of empathy for her or her character, it went right out the window at that moment. Like, that is the meanest thing you could ever do. And poor Brad, like, the guilt that he's walking around with that situation.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that part in a second, I suppose. But Were you surprised? Because it's been, and I think we've poked fun of it, that Brad and Lucas, either one of them or both of them, would show up occasionally, and we get a little name check about, like, oh, we're trying to get this adoption, and we're worried about the mom, we're not sure. And that dragged on for the longest time. We're like, yeah, this is not really a good
story. And then all of a sudden, the baby just appeared. Like, it was like one minute they were, it's like you said, one minute they were like, oh, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know who's the mom. And then the next thing you know, here's the baby. I'm like, really? In the middle? Okay.
Yeah, and not only here's the baby, but the baby passes away as soon as they take him home.
That was kind of weird because they never, the thing that bothered me about that is they never really explained. They never really explained what happened to, like, you never see what happens to the baby. You don't know if the baby died from SIDS. Like, we don't know. We're assuming, they let the audience assume that the baby died from SIDS because he goes to get a bottle and when he comes back, the baby's dead, which was so sad.
That was sad. That was not at all the thing, what I was expecting. But I guess when you look at it in hindsight, if you're going to have two people that are, one's pregnant and another one, somebody else is expecting a baby, I guess.
You got to do something.
You got to expect some shenanigans are going to happen with that. But I did not expect them to... have like a SIDS-related death for Brad and Lucas's baby.
That was so sad for me. And what was worse was, you know, Julian's taking pictures with the baby. Lucas hasn't even met the baby yet. Everybody knows the baby's here but Lucas. And then by the time Lucas comes, it makes me wonder if Lucas had gone home with Brad that day, if the baby would have survived. And if the baby had survived, how that would have fared out for Nell.
I don't know if there's anything that Lucas could have done. I mean, if you're going to pass away.
But if he had come home with Brad, he probably, the likelihood of him being in that nursery while Brad was going to get the bottle would be more imminent than not. You know?
Not up on my SIDS related.
Me neither, but I feel bad for him. I'm like, oh, wow. That's...
To take that storyline, though, and just kind of jump it, I will say my problems with the storyline is that, and it looks like I'm hopefully going to kind of speed this up because I'm getting a little tired of the
looks from Brad.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to snap. Oh. He's going to snap like a freaking twig because he can't hold water. That boy can't hold no secret. What secret in Port Charles have you ever seen Brad hold? Nothing. He cannot hold water. It is just a matter of time before he snaps. He's going to snap like a twig.
Well, tell me real quick, like, because even this week on Friday when Lexus and a few other people said, like, hey, we're going to throw him a little welcome home kind of party there for Brad Lucas and Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Julian is there looking at Wiley, he's like, you know, this baby doesn't look like the same. Like, why would you even say that to, like,
because to he's Shady Boots.
I don't really understand.
He is Shady Boots. Julian is as shady as they come.
That scene was so weird to me. It's like, why would you comment on somebody else's child? It's like,
because he knows something up. He knows something's up. When he looked at that baby, he was looking shady. He was looking at that baby like, something ain't quite right with this kid.
Let me show you these photos I took the day he was born. Like, oh, all right, Julian.
Oh, that's right. You know what? He does have that picture. All he has to do is look at a current picture and look at that picture he took that day and realize, so maybe that's what the next storyline is going to be. Julian's going to be, you know, trying to investigate whose baby it really is.
Well,
I hope they don't drag that out forever, though, because that's going to be annoying.
I think Brad is going to turn to Julian to kind of spill his soul.
I'm telling you, Brad is going to snap like a twig. He is.
Just how many scenes.
Like a branch off a tree, he's going to go, doop.
For all the...
Oh, I made you laugh. That's a beautiful thing. I made you laugh.
But like all the
you
scenes...
never laugh at That's me.
True. That's right. I'm dead inside. But like the scenes with Mike or Ed holding the baby, like, it looks just like Carly. I can see Carly in there.
Y'all know goodwill. You don't see nobody's Carly in that baby's face. Why are they lying? I'm just like, stop it.
You know, of that. So before we continue on, folks, you know, we're just catching up on 3 weeks of General Hospital. And you know what? We're only one small part of the big AfterBuzz TV puzzle here. So, you know, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, You don't have to worry about that because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments. And you know what? The one, the only, the curvy critic herself, Carly Renata, will give you a personalized shout out. You're never going to feel better. A little sense of warmness is going to float over your entire being when Carly Renata gives you a personal shout out. For now, though, thanks for being the best fans and for making us the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
Before we move away
from Nell, they want to know what we thought about the Nell and Joss fight.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Baby, I was living for that moment. I'm like, I was waiting for the moment that Jocelyn was finally going to prove that she is Carly's daughter. And that was it. She beat her butt. I was like, yeah, girl, get her. I felt like I was at the WWE in my living room. It was great.
You would think in a situation like that, it would probably have been Carly and Nell having a big battle. Duking it out.
I knew it wasn't ever going to be Carly because Carly knew what the consequences of that would hold for her. But Joss ain't got no consequences.
Well, that's right. She's a minor. But it was nice that for Jocelyn, who'd been kind of had the wool pulled over her eyes for the longest time, had been kind of, you know, manipulated by Nell, to be able to kind of have a little chance to deliver some payback was nice.
Baby, when she said you messed with the wrong family, biatch, I was like, yes, get her. Oh, I was so excited.
Some hot fight scenes between Nell and Jocelyn.
Michael B. thought it was lame, though.
The fight?
I loved it. I was excited.
There's a lot of pausing and awkwardness in that fight.
Well, you know, they had to have dialogue. It is a soap opera, after all.
So. But Michael B., I know what you're saying in terms of that choreography. You're like, okay, you're just standing still for way too long, and now you're going to get punched? Come on now. So, yes. It could have used some tighter choreography. Yeah, if you're seeing Mile 22, you're seeing some awesome fight scenes. Give me that on a soap opera.
Child, they are not going to give us Mile 22 between Joss and Nell. That is not going to happen.
One can hope. One can only hope. So, speaking of Carly, though, not only Jocelyn's mother, but she's been enwrapped in her own storyline thanks to Nell. That's being stuck at Ferncliff. She gets busted out by Stone Cold. Shows up right there at the nick of time with a gun. To stop that, electroshock therapy.
What was her name?
Mary Pat?
Ooh, that Mary Pat. The storyline I want to see is I want to know why she had such a vendetta against Carly. There's something else to be told there. Because she was just, like, there weren't other patients that she could deal with. Every time you turned around, she was all up in Carly's face, torturing her all the time. I'm like, and then they gave her those hallucinatory drugs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, she thought she saw nails. She was freaking out. I'm like, ooh, all they'd have to do is put them electrodes on her, and she is a goner. She is done. I like the fact that he broke her out, though, because everybody was telling him, no, wait. He's like, no, bump that. I'm going right now. And then he dragged Franco with him.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, as soon as Stone Cold's going to make a move like that, you know it's going to turn out all right. It's not like he doesn't do a move like that. The show's never had him do, like, a move like that, and it turns out terribly.
Mm-mm.
So it was like, no, he's going
to
do it.
But the worst part of that whole thing is when they were running in slow motion to the SUV where Franco was. I was like, really? And what was even worse is that they film at Prospect Studios, General Hospital does, here in L.A., and I recognize the walkways at Prospect Studios
as
the part where they were running away from Ferncliff. I'm like, ooh, y'all could have done better than that.
Well, they use that park across the way, too. The film all those, which, you know, I have to admit, this summer I've been disappointed. We have not had a great outdoor park scene.
No.
Those terrible outdoor park scenes. I miss you so much. Come back, terrible park scenes. Where have you been? So we get her busted out. She spends a little time in the safe house. She gets reunited with Jocelyn, so they get to have a little nice heart-to-heart. And then instead of trying to go to Canada, which is the initial plan, you know, Jason says,
right.
Wait a minute, I think I might have another way for us to get out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does this nice complicated end run around to be able to secure Carly's innocence and freedom. And then he has a little hiccup with Margot. She just wants to sit there in the interrogation room and just go all through his entire personal history.
Baby, when she rolled up in there with those boxes with Jason, I'm like, really? I'm going to need you to do better. But I'm glad you brought her up, because I am really interested to know, she's the one that has that hard drive.
Yeah.
What the hell is she going to do with it? Did she play it? Has she seen what's on it?
She has seen what's on it.
So I'm like, what is she going to do with that? Is she just going to mess with people? And does she realize she's obstructing the law? So she's going to be the next one sitting in a jail cell.
Yeah, it's tough to see. I mean, at least for right now, what we've been told, her initial plan is like, wow, we've got Drew, who has all of Jason's memories, but is not like a terrible, supposedly a terrible, criminal. Mm-hmm. What if I can convince him to spill all these secrets that he knows about Jason, since they share the same memories, and then I can get him?
I think she's trying to use that information to take down Sonny, because I think that's ultimately who she's after. She can't stand Sonny.
Yeah, which, you know, like every DA in town, you know, but you already know.
But he's probably going to sleep with her too, and then there's going to be drama with him and Carly.
Oh,
because he slept with Alexis.
No more sleeping.
Sonny, the last time he was being pursued by a DA, it was Alexis, and he slept with her, and they have Christina. I'm just saying.
I feel like at this point, no, we can't have Sonny sleep with anybody else. It's got to be just him and Carly, got to be endgame. Because it's too many times that they bounced back and forth. I feel like if we did a thing where Sonny ended up sleeping, it's like, how could you expect us to be invested in this relationship?
But he might. We're totally invested in Sonny and Carly, but they might do it as a distraction from Mike, Jocelyn, Carly, like all of that stuff. He may just like. Ooh, I was gonna say something. I know I can't say on the air. Let me fix my mind real quick.
I like it.
Let me just leave that conversation alone.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
No.
Oh, man. I feel like this is the moment where I ask Steve to put up like a little title card for like 10 seconds. So it's like, temporarily stand by while we get some hot tea from Carla.
I can't say that.
All right. Well, but tell me, like how many – is that an inviolable excuse that you could tell somebody, your significant other? Like, you know, I had to sleep with her. I needed the distraction.
I wouldn't say that he would say he needed to sleep with her. It's just like he found himself in bed with Nell and couldn't remember whether he slept with her or not, because there is a pattern with him. When he gets over-traumatized or there's too much drama going on in his life, he always sleeps with the wrong person. Remember when he slept with Ava?
Right there in that crypt, the Quartermain crypt, man.
So, I mean, you know. Oh, that was so foul. It's like, how are you going to have sex in a crypt? Like, that's just creepy.
It'd be tough to get, like, yeah.
Like, how are you going to get your groove on in there? It's like, I don't know how that feels. But anyway, I digress. It's been a pattern with him. Whenever he gets stressed out or overtaxed mentally, he always sleeps with somebody every single time. And because they don't do it with him that often, it usually comes, you know, every 5 or 6 years or so, because he's been on there for 25, 30 years. Yeah. So happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, Maurice Bernard. I'm still waiting for you to come over here. You've been going all over the country to everybody else's fan things, and you won't come over here to AfterBuzz, and we're like 20 minutes away. I'm just saying.
That's true.
Steve Burton and Spinelli better not call me out this time either.
Yeah, interesting. I do look throughout our studio, our vast AfterBuzz studio here that we're in, and I see, you know what, oh my gosh, there's 5 seats.
Here we go.
Not one seat filled with Maurice Bernard. And the way you're talking, Carla, I will say it seems like you're admitting defeat.
No, I will never admit defeat.
All right. I mean, it is almost September. I mean, that window for 2018 is closing rapidly.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm on it. Just leave me alone. I'm on it. Let's just finish talking about the show.
All right, fine. We got to do that. So now we have Carly free and clear. She's there. And we now have – well, we'll stick with Carly right now. So Carly's free and clear. But now she gets to be a mother again, so we get to deal with a little bit of issues of Jocelyn's shoplifting.
That's lame. That whole thing is just so lame. And the fact that her shoplifting encouraged Cameron to do it, which they're making Cameron out to be a real a-hole. I don't know how I feel about that.
Because we see Elizabeth talking with her childhood friend about Cameron. Mm-hmm. And as Elizabeth described, Cameron's the one that he never had to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
The other two boys, they always kind of needed something, mm-hmm. especially when one is supposed to be dead and it's coming
back. And
then
her friend read her.
Yeah.
Her friend was like, don't that remind you of somebody else? She's like, oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess Cameron might have a reason for kind of acting out if he's feeling like he's the more neglected of the three children.
I don't know, but I'm just not having that storyline of Jocelyn and Cameron bonding over shoplifting. Like, y'all couldn't find something else. Why does it have to be shoplifting? And first of all, why is Joss shoplifting? She got more money than God. Why is she stealing anything? But I guess that's what rich, bored kids do. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if initially she was bored. She was going through everything that was happening with her mom and
Child, then she needs to go get a bag of chips. You don't go shoplifting.
Well, yeah.
Get a bag of chips or get a milkshake or something.
True.
Either way, the pain. Don't go shoplifting with tags on clothes.
Man, but everybody processes, you know, their kind of feelings through different things.
Somebody said in the chat room that Cameron should be more like his dad, Xander.
Yeah. It's tough with Cameron because he certainly didn't make you want to care about him the way he was acting in the police department towards Franco and through
he was a butthead. Oof. And he was a butthead to Oscar too. I'm just saying they're painting him out to be a not so nice dude. Remember every time he talks to Oscar, he's always goading Oscar or making Oscar second guess himself. And I feel like Joss likes him because he's a bad boy. So she's throwing shade to Oscar too. I'm like, Oscar saved you from freezing to death. You gonna throw shade to somebody that stopped you from freezing to death? Like, how you living?
Yeah, but you have to admit, at that age, ultimately, I think it's like, I think majority of people will go through a bad person phase. They're gonna be more drawn to that person that kind of brings out some more of that rebellious streak in them. Not saying it's right, but I feel like that's kind of a thing that happens.
She better rebellion her way over to a bag of chips and call it a day.
What? Yeah.
Get her some Pringles salt and vinegar and call it quits. I'm just saying.
Well, they certainly set up, you see the beginnings of a triangle, it seems, between the three of them. Especially when they start sharing text messages. Like, But
he text messaged her before he text messaged his mom. Like, his mom had to find out that he was there through somebody else. And he's sitting up there text messaging Joss. I'm like, boy, I tell you what, that wouldn't happen in my family.
I will say, I did like the way that they did that, which then makes me kind of frustrated that they don't do that more on the show, where they did they brought up the text screen and they did everything right there. And I was like, all right.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool.
But I guess you're going to do it for the young, hip, millennial kids.
Wait.
We're not going to do it for the...
I had to laugh because someone in the chat room, Duleman, said, Cameron looks older than Elizabeth. He do look old for a teenager.
Rebecca Hertz has got a portrait in her attic somewhere.
Rebecca Hertz is like, she is Benjamin Buttons. She just doesn't age. Her hair color changes, but she does not age. She looks really good.
She looks fantastic. So I guess we'll see what happens with those three little lovebirds.
I guess so.
It would be nice. I feel like those triangles work better than at some point we're going to have to introduce another young woman, because then that's always seems to be the dynamic. You have the initial triangle where it's got the...
Yeah, and then they bring somebody else in.
And then it's a girl, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, now... The one guy that I haven't been paying much attention to is not interested in this girl. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm starting to reconsider.
Who could it be, though? There's not any other teenagers left.
They're gonna age up Avery. So,
could you imagine Avery's gone from being an infant? No, she's not an infant anymore. What is she, like a toddler?
Yeah. To all of a sudden, she's 16 right now. That'd be great.
Actually isn't a bad idea, especially with what's going on with her mom.
I mean,
that could be really interesting.
But I feel like if Emma was around.
Oh, I don't want them to age up Emma, though.
I don't think they will, because the actress is so great.
Brooklyn I love that little girl that plays Emma. She's a darling. I don't want them to age her up. Yes. Like, them other ones, I don't really care. But they can't age up Emma.
Yeah, so I feel like, that won't work.
Let's hope not, anyway. Yeah.
So, but speaking of Avery... Yeah, that's the young child of both Sonny and Ava, you know, conceived in the Quartermain.
The mausoleum. Yeah.
But we do find out that Ava, we get to see I'll Come Into the Head, the big trial with Kiki, Dr. Bench. We've got Dr. Griffin, Monroe, and Ava, and the little tryst.
Didn't I tell you here weeks ago that sooner or later she was going to snap and be the old Ava. Something was going to happen. She was going to snap because that goody two shoes Ava was getting on my nerves. Two shoes Ava was getting on my nerves. She was crying and whining all the time. I'm like, and the actress that plays her is fantabulous. I'm like, please stop her from begging. Remember the episode where she put the rose petals down for Griffin and he didn't show up because he was with Kiki? I'm like, oh, girl, I can't have you groveling like that. I need the old Ava back. I love to hate her, but I need her back. I need her back. And she came back in full effect this week.
I never thought that I saw Ava as somebody that was like trying to be good. Like, even she was always kind of just a, She had like a slight veneer of like, I'm trying to be a better person, but she still do her shady stuff.
But she even said, okay, speaking on that line, she even said that she twisted herself into a pretzel to be what Kiki and Griffin wanted her to be. She says that, but then in the same breath. Oh my gosh, she is pure comedy this week. In the same breath, she does that thing where she's looking in the mirror and talking about it was like Snow White in the Seven Dwarfs Evil Queen moment. Yep. I'm like, what is happening? And then there's that fabulous moment where Franco read her and let her have it.
Yeah.
I was living for that moment right there. Where he was like, really? He said, oh, wow, 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 poor you. Look at all the stuff that you've done. He did. He's like, look at you. Look at all the stuff you've done to everybody else. And something happens to you one time and you want to cry about it. He said, you're getting it. He says, you're getting exactly what you deserve. I'm like, ooh, ouch. She didn't dispute him, though.
No, that's true.
She didn't read him.
But, you know, I would have felt more sympathetic towards Ava's argument if I'd really seen her really twisting herself in knots like a pretzel to be what Kiki and Griffin wanted. I never really saw that.
I saw it. It happened. There were glimpses of it over a period of time. It wasn't consistent, so it's hard to remember when she did it. But there were glimpses of it time and time again where she would pop off on Griffin and then she'd come back and apologize and be like, oh, you're right, you're right, you're right. But I'm going to tell you what my mama told me. My mama always said,
better shop around.
Mm-mm. She said, whatever's done in the dark always comes to the light. There was no way in hell that they were going to be able to keep that secret.
No, that's true. But you see stuff like the way that Ava was ready to get at least joint custody with Avery.
Oh,
that
was she was doing too much.
That was all shadiness.
But then she was shade to the 10th power this week, though.
True. So the trial comes up.
The 10th power. I'm like,
Well, we all knew at some point it was going to come out. And we all kind of pretty much suspected if you're setting up a trial, it's got to come out at a trial. But were you expecting the way that it happened to be the way that it happened? Where Franco's the one that kind of lets the cat out of the bag with an accident.
No, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that at all. I was like, is that that actually surprised me. It takes a lot to surprise me when it comes to General Hospital, but that surprised me. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I know Franco's got a reputation that precedes him.
Mm.
But if you were about to be your Lexus, put yourself in Lexus's shoes. You have Franco come up to you, and it's certainly mere minutes before the trial's supposed to start. Mm-hmm. But if he says he has important information, don't you think you'd take the second to at least hear it, as opposed to like, no, I don't have time for you?
No, because Franco has proven time and time again that whenever he said that, it's been some BS. So that's why she was like, I don't have time for this right now. I gotta go.
Yeah, but I would maybe think about that like 75 or 80% of the time. But Kiki's involved. And we all know that, I mean, Franco does not mess around with Kiki.
He has a weak spot when it comes to Kiki, yeah.
So he's not going to do anything that's going to screw Kiki. So if he's coming forward now, I would like, Alexis, take the second to see what Franco's got to say.
It just makes better TV that they didn't. And I'm kind of glad. But the weak part was, oh, I sent it to the wrong person. Like, really, dude? You text messaged the wrong person, really? No, you didn't.
That's happened before. I've did that already this week.
I mean, yeah, we do it in real life all the time, but seriously?
We do it in real life, but there's no way that could happen in a soap opera.
Well, no, not during a trial, because first of all, in a real trial, you're not allowed to have your cell phones in there, let alone on.
Well, he got thrown out. You saw it happened?
It was shenanigans. I'm like, what is going on right now? I can't even.
Well, I did like Kid Schreiner doing his best as Scotty Baldwin to...
to defer.
Yeah, to not work hard on this case.
But then Ava, being evil Ava, and she was back, you know, kind of like put the knife to him. Was like, to your job. I was like, oh, it's about to go down. Which made me, this is what I didn't like about evil Ava coming back. How you going to throw your own daughter's case under the bus, especially after y'all done had this women's council and you and her as her mother sat there and said, this is important, you have to do this, you know, goading her and pushing her to do the right thing. And then you're going to be the person that's actually going to put the doubt in the jury's mind to throw the case under the bus. Like, really? That just shows that she doesn't care about anybody else's happiness but her own.
I feel like Ava and Kiki's relationship is always like,
It's one damaged.
One step forward, two steps back.
It's damaged. It's damaged. It was damaged from day one, and I don't think it's ever, I don't think that's a mother-daughter relationship that's ever going to be repaired. Like, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out, but yeah, I don't think that's ever going to be repaired. But what I also loved about the trial was Alexis's closing argument. I'm like, that closing argument could be used for every Me Too case ever on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
She got down. Whoever wrote that, kudos to them. They did their thing when they wrote that because it was very effective.
No, I mean, it was a completely point. Like, her, the fact that her and Griffin had even just a one-night stand has no bearing on what the situation is between her and Dr. Bench.
No, and but that was a good point, though, because in a lot of these cases, even the ones, you know, that we're dealing with that we see in real time, they always try to make the woman out to be the villain, like something's wrong with the woman that this happened or she brought it on herself or whatever. And even on General Hospital, they try to make it look like, oh, look, she's a slut. She'll sleep with anybody to get ahead at the hospital. And as Alexis pointed out, it was consensual. It's not like he raped her. It's not like she was like, she said no, and he did it anyway. They were like, yep, let's do this. And they did it, and it happened one night, and that was it. That's her right. She can sleep with whoever she wants to, but it's a very different thing when somebody's rolling up on you all skeevy like Dr. Bench was doing and using his power and abusing his power to get what he want regardless of what you feel about it. So it's and I'm glad that when she made her closing argument, she made that differentiation. So that, I think, helped the jury in that case make up their mind to award Kiki what she got. And I think it speaks volumes to Kiki's character on General Hospital that she didn't keep the money. She was like, you know what? Let's put this out in Port Charles so that somebody else can be helped. It was never about the money, she says. It was about proving that what he did was wrong. I'm like, General Hospital, that one episode of General Hospital, that was everything because it spoke volumes. And I hope that some young women were watching. I hope that this storyline, that there were some young women watching that know that, you know, you can speak up and know that the consequences aren't always going to be against you, but in your favor. Not all the time, but it does happen. So
I'll be curious because Dr. Bench leaves with having to pay that fine, you know, the $250,000. But yeah, he goes nuts. But he doesn't lose his job.
They haven't shown that yet, though, because they said in court that the court decision has no bearing on whether or not he loses his job. The board of GH and Monica have to decide that. So next week is probably going to be all about him going back to GH. But I find it really interesting that they ain't had no problem coming after Griffin that quick.
No, well, I mean, Kiki and Monica have that scene this past week where she does say, Kiki asks, so Dr. Bench gets to come back? And Monica says, yeah, because, I mean, what he did had no bearing on in terms of his being a doctor.
Oh, so. I missed that one. That's messed up.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see if they're going to do, like, in real life, they probably would just kind of stick their own corners and not do anything. But this being a soap opera, if you're going to kind of ranch it up and Dr. Bench is looking for revenge.
Oh yeah, he's gonna do something. He's gonna, cause he was livid. He's like him and Ava might even team up. Ooh, wouldn't that be juicy? Him and Ava teaming up to take people down.
See, I mean, again, Ava
because she's mad at Kiki too.
Oh yeah, I mean, the fact that she would just not let Kiki Ava is ruled by her emotions, and so she gets slighted. She gets, you know, she feels like she's been. Something's been done wrong to her. Mm-hmm. She's immediately got to go for the most lethal payback possible that's at her disposal at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to just throw Griffin right under the bus, I know you're mad at the guy. And I know that, you know, Kiki did you wrong too, but it's like, hold on. Just let them finish this. Like, because even the argument that Kiki and Ava have, it's like, Ava wants Kiki to, you know, is there anything you want to tell me? Just seconds before she's supposed to go back in the
courtroom. I know, and that was shady boots. I was like, really? How you just going to, like, mess with your daughter's head during her trial? That's what I'm saying. She doesn't care about anybody. She's selfish. She's so selfish. She doesn't care about anybody else but herself and what's going to benefit her, even her daughter. So if she's doing that to Kiki, what the hell is she going to do with Avery? It's going to be even worse. I cannot with Ava in that regard. Like, I'm going to need you to be a better mother.
How in the wrong are Griffin and Kiki? Certainly, they were on a break. Ava and Griffin were on a break. They were also fueled by lots of champagne. Kiki and Griffin.
This is the thing. Griffin is older than Kiki. So being older than Kiki and knowing that you're already having a physical relationship with her mother, he was in a perfect position to go, this isn't right. We can't do this. And removed himself from the situation. That's what champagne or no champagne, he was the adult in the situation. And she has a drinking problem. They've established that Kiki has a they have established on General Hospital that Kiki has a serious drinking problem over and over and over again. Griffin knows this. So you know that your girlfriend's daughter has a drinking problem. You've had too many to drink. He should have just excused himself from the situation. So I do blame him for not excusing himself for the situation. It's not like she jumped on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like a slow burn moving toward that direction. And I think in that situation, he had the upper hand to shut it down, and he didn't, because he was hurt by Ava. So subconsciously, I believe he slept with Kiki to get back at Ava for treating him the way that she did that night. Because he tried his best to talk to her, to make amends, and she wanted nothing to do with it. And I think subconsciously, he was like, okay, fine, then I'm just going to do what I want to do and bump you.
You don't own me. So, well, there's been talk, and I guess we'll save for that in terms of news and gossip about the potential future for Kiki and Ava's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But and what may lie ahead for Griffin and Ava's relationship?
It's done. It's a wrap. Because once the trust is broken in a relationship, it's a wrap.
So of course Ava has the photo that she's taken of Griffin's,
which is shady boots. Like, why are you still holding on to that photo? She's just, ooh, that's just shady.
So she takes that and finally says, hey, I'm going to give you some payback, and goes to Monica and rats him out, and Griffin ends up getting suspended.
And that was cryptic and wrong, too. She's like, when she's standing outside the elevator, and she's like, so, are you hurting? No? You will. How many times does she have to do that? I'm like, really? We going to do this right now? Let's get on with it.
I was waiting for at least a realization, and I don't think it happens in these scenes, that Griffin kind of puts two and two together and realizes, oh, wait, Ava, I don't know how, but ratted me out.
He's not the brightest crayon in the box. Have we not established that?
But it's like once you get her saying something cryptic right there at your place of work and then walking away, and then moments later you're called into the office and you're suspended, wouldn't you put two and two together?
Again, he is not the brightest crayon in the box. He's not going to get it. We get it, but he don't get it because he's not that bright. There are people that are geniuses that have no common sense, and he has not an ounce, 0%.
It's, again, Ava needing to know everything, just her snoopiness, and then coming back and feeling like, you don't trust me? You don't want to tell me about this? And then you tell Ava, and then she ends up using that stuff against you at one of your weakest moments in your life. Never trust Ava Jerome, guys. I think we know that going away.
You know, I cannot. What we gonna do? What we gonna do? What we gonna do?
So we also get one big thing that comes out of Carly's time in Ferncliff, as she was doped up on her way to electroshock therapy, she has already been experiencing SOS communication with the person next door to her. Thinks that she sees Kevin being in a straitjacket being led away while she's being taken electroshock therapy. But she's also doped up. She doesn't really treat it as true.
Mm-hmm.
But we do find out end of last week, though, that, hey, guess what? You know, either Kevin/Ryan is also there in Ferncliff in that room.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if Ryan has been doubling as Kevin and Kevin is the one that's in that room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of thinking that's what's about to go down because there's something about Kevin's demeanor as of late that doesn't feel like Kevin.
It must be, because why would he be so concerned?
And then he came over to Carly's house and was like, I think you need to come back to therapy. For what? Dude, really? They tried to fry my brain. You prescribed drugs that had me out of my mind. Hell no, I'm not coming back there. You have lost the last bit of good sense you got. No.
I mean, I feel like it's just the way that he wants to keep tabs on Carly to see what she's going to do with what...
The information that she has, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like...
Why did he show up at her house? Like, why are you coming to the house?
Well, you want to apologize as well, I suppose.
You can pick up a phone and do that. Like, I don't trust him.
But don't you, is an apology in person mean that much more to you than one done over the phone?
Under the circumstances, I would not want him coming anywhere near my house. Under the circumstances. He miraculously leaves and goes out of town and then they trying to fry my brain. No, I wouldn't want you coming to my house. Excuse me. I don't want you crossing my threshold. I don't want you physically anywhere near me. I just don't. I'm going to need you to pick up a phone and say whatever it is you'd have to say.
Well, it is interesting because we've got certainly the memory mapping is in play between. So there could be a thing where Ryan has got some of Kevin's memories mapped onto his. So that's why he knows things.
Mm-hmm.
We also have that bit where he took Kevin. I'll say that in quotes right now. Took Faison's brain. To examine for various reasons. You know, you want to talk about like serial killers or.
Oh, maybe it's Faison with Kevin's face.
No, no, God. Oh, man.
I know that was a stretch.
So I'm curious to see what that storyline is going to be like. But, I mean, we do know from at least casting news that Jeannie Francis is coming back. So
yes, we're really happy about that. And Leslie Charlson came back as Monica. And Christina's back. So a lot of people coming back.
Yeah, let's talk about a little bit about Christine. So she comes back in town this past week here and kind of says like, hey, you know what? Parker's doing great in she Portland. But I think Christina's like feeling like, I don't know. I mean, Parker's got her act together. I went out there for love, but I'm kind of floundering. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And that's kind of causing a little distance between the two of us.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I buy this storyline. I think something else is going on because that's just way too weak. It's like, how can we build something out of that? We can't.
Well, I mean, but who hasn't been the first person to like have that intense feeling of love for somebody? You follow them across the country, and then it just kind of doesn't pan out.
Yeah. I've never been that person, so I wouldn't know personally, but I know of people who have done that. And it doesn't pan out. And it's a really lonely, horrible feeling for them, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But, mm-mm.
I mean, especially the way you may have left the situation mm-hmm. where you're living, if you've really kind of, like, told your friends off, like, no, you don't get it. Me and this other person, you know, we're going to be together forever, and you don't understand us. And then things go wrong, and you're like, how do I go back?
I don't know. I just think that's in my opinion, it just feels like a weak storyline. I don't know.
Well, I was kind of bummed at how she was just so quickly run off the show the first time. So I was like, it's nice to have Christina back, but I do agree that you're right. It should be, yeah. I feel like there's a little bit more to unpack with her and Parker.
Yeah, like I'm interested to see what else is going to happen. Is Parker going to show up? Like, well, how is that going to play out?
I feel like you don't bring her back just, you know, for no
for the
reason.
Sake, yeah, for the sake of bringing her back, that's not working for
there's
me.
There's got to be something going on. other great storylines that we've got here.
Jordan.
Yes, Jordan and Curtis,
honey. When I love that Jordan called out Aunt Stella. She let her have it to her face. She's like, look, I thought you were happy for us, but clearly you are not because you sicked Chandra on yeah. Curtis. What's up with that? And I'm feeling like Chandra's going to make an appearance because her name keeps coming up. Even though Aunt Stella was like, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Blah, 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 blah. I feel like Chandra is coming with shenanigans because when Curtis looked at the phone and saw Chandra's name, you could see the look of love coming across his face. I'm like, oh, so he's not as into Jordan as he would have us believe.
Oh, come on. He's into Jordan.
I'm not saying he's not into her. But he's not as into her as they would have us believe because his face when he was looking at Chandra on that phone, that is not the face you have of somebody who is completely unequivocally in love with somebody else. He had that look on his face like he was having a having a memory about him and Chandra at some point. I'm just saying.
Hello.
I'm like, okay, Curtis.
Well, it was interesting in the scene with Michael and Stella. Where she goes, I'll tell you what I told your dad. Like, grief has no timetable.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I guess one of those people that great at giving out advice but hard taking their own.
Because
I feel like everything she's saying to Michael applies to her and how she's reacting to Curtis and Jordan's wedding.
Absolutely. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, especially since we know Vanessa Antoine is going to be gone. I heard through the grapevine that she's the first person of color to be on this a certain type of series in Canada, like a drama series or something like that. And it's a really big deal for her career. So she out of Port Charles, and I don't know if they're going to make her recurring. I don't know if her schedule is going to be able to work with General Hospital or not, but I'm happy that she got another gig. That's cool.
Yeah, well, they have announced that the role has been recast.
Okay.
So we'll have somebody else coming in shortly to take up the reins.
So they can resolve that storyline, because that would be like, ooh, that would be messy if they just kind of dropped the storyline, especially since it was picking up such momentum, you know.
Stella kills her.
Stella's not going to kill her. Aunt Stella's not a violent. She'll kill you with your mouth. Like, she'll keep with some words, but she's not going to, like, be violent towards you.
So we also get another bit that could lead to a potential new storyline, is we get to see Maxie and Nina. They head over to the prison to talk to Donna Mills' character, Nina's mom. And she kind of
Donna Mills. I love her on General Hospital. She is everything.
She
is just quintessential soap diva all day long, isn't she?
Yeah, it was great. And the anger that Michelle Stafford brought to that scene when Nina lays in to her mom. It's just
Michelle Stafford is everything. Like the two of them together in a scene is just like soap opera gold. It's just the best thing ever.
And it's like one of those things that you always know is part of Nina's backstory, but it's moments like that still show you just like how much that has really affected that character. And that she cannot let that go.
Her and Ava have that in common.
Yeah.
You know, they love hard, but they also grudge hard.
Cool.
you know?
That's true.
Once they grudge. And it's like a dog with a bone. They just can't let it go. They really can't.
Let's segue into a little news and gossip, because we got a few potential storylines here coming up.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So according to gossip here, so I was talking about Nina talking to her mom there in prison, Maxie. There's always been that kind of long rumored storyline that they keep always talking about Nina and the baby that she lost, and maybe the baby was never lost. And that was always it had been teased a long time ago and never really picked up on, but now it seems to be kind of starting to percolate up again. So the thought that somebody on the canvas could be Nina's real daughter, and the thought is it could be Kiki.
Oh, somebody said that in the chat room.
Yeah.
Ooh, so wouldn't that be interesting?
That has always been something that's been talked about for the longest time, and it's never really been dealt as a story point, and people had kind of dropped away, and you're always wondering, well, maybe, you know, producers decided to go in a different direction, but now it's starting to, you know, percolate up again that this could be a route.
That actually would be very interesting, because Ava would, as if Ava hasn't lost her crap enough already, that would really send her over the edge.
Well, given the way that Nina and Kiki, their relationship right now is, you know, pretty
really
close
strong.
To rock bottom.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're going to make that kind of like the next leap after that is, all right, you never really were my mom. Nina's my mom. Now we can see if we could try to mend fences that way.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I love that.
Yeah. So that is a potential storyline that's coming up there. We also have, some of Margot's dealings with Drew, trying to find out what their story is in the past. So supposedly that her and Drew have had some connection in the past that Drew does not remember since he's got Jason's memories now.
Oh, that would make sense because she's very empathetic toward him.
Yes. Whether that means, but then she planned that weird kiss on him this week too. It was kind of weird.
It was just awkward.
It was so weird.
It made me uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. So far, she's not done much really anything to ingratiate herself to me whatsoever. Like, I don't really like her as a character at all. Don't like her. Yeah.
She's just so hard. Like, if they softened her up so that we could see some type of, you know, I don't know.
True, because if you give somebody that's already a pill, and then you say, oh, this pill is here to stop one of the more beloved characters in Port Charles.
Right.
Or at least in the show.
Right.
We're already, if she's a pill, we're not really going to root for her to try to like, ooh, we can't wait to see if she can try to take
like
down
Sunny.
Right,
like she needs to have some kind of redeeming quality, because right now she has none.
Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want her to. She's not going to win. I don't want her to win.
Like, who cares?
Yeah. We also have some comings and goings here. So
Who's coming? Who's going?
I'm going. You're coming. we've got Cassandra is back in.
Oh, yes. We forgot about that. Anna, yes. Finn, and all that drama. Oof.
There you go. So we find out the whole reason that's doing it is that Cassandra's back in town. Or she's been.
She's about to be woken up by Dr. Finn. And then we wait to see whether or not that's going to result in Anna and Finn being assassinated.
Dun 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 dun. Folks, that was 3 weeks, and that was not nearly enough time to get through everything.
I know we didn't get through everything, but we put a good dent in it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll pick up the slack next week.
Yeah,
we'll be back. Yeah, we'll come back next week, yeah, folks. We made you wait so long. We're not going to make you wait that long of a gap. So we'll be back next Sunday night. But folks, again, thanks for watching. Thanks for liking us. Thanks for liking us in general. Thanks for watching. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Carla loved reading all your messages right there. And don't forget to make sure you see if you subscribe, comment down there so you can get that personalized shout out from Carla or not herself. But if you want to talk to us on any form of social media, Carla, where can they find you?
You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic, and you can find me prior to the GH Report at 5 o'clock on Black Hollywood Live with Black Tomatoes. If you like movies, check us out. Come and play.
Well, look at that. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, one more GH Report in the books. Another one coming next week. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you sticking out with us over this long little summer hiatus that we have. Well, we're both excited to be back, and we're both excited to break down the latest happenings in Port Charles with you next week on the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.